Pastor Daniel to the pulpit.
Awesome, thank you. So as most of you guys know, Pastor Benjamin and Pastor Sunny, they're not here. They're actually in Southern California for the first service of Vertical Point. It's one of the churches that were planted by one of their spiritual sons and daughters. And so they're going to be there. So they're going to be back next week. But that means that I get the special privilege and you get the special, I don't know, of getting to hear me speech or hear me preach. Oh, Lord. Let's get started. Honestly, I'm super grateful. I'm super honored that I get to be here. You know, every time I get to share, I always say that because I know how protective PB is of this pulpit, and so just for him to, you know, ask for me to share what God has put in my heart is, I just feel really grateful. So I'm just really thankful for that. I just want to recognize right before I start, my parents are here. They're here to honor me. Honestly, I'm really thankful that they're here. You know, they heard that I was going to preach, and they're like, "We got to come." They came all the way from San Jose. They had to go to their sunrise service at church so they could come and join us. I'm just really thankful that you guys are here. You know, who I am is so much because of your prayers and how you live your life, and me watching you live. And so I'm just so thankful and encouraged by your presence here, and I'm so grateful. Amen. All right, I got a word from the Lord for you, and we're going to talk a little bit about loving God and what it means to love God fully, right? Love God with all of our being. Can we do that? Yeah. Sound good? Okay, why don't we pray? Why don't we pray first? God, we just thank you for your presence. God, we thank you that we have the privilege, God, to come and to be in your presence, God. Lord, we don't take it lightly. We don't take it for granted. But Lord, we just ask for more of you, Lord. And as the word goes out, Lord, I pray that you would cover it. Lord, would your spirit come and breathe on it, God? Maybe more than just words, but Lord, may it be the word of God. And so, Lord, I just pray for that. Would you bless this time, Lord? We thank you for your presence. Teach us how to love you. And God, teach us what it means to fully love you and with all of our being. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't we turn to Mark 12? Turn our Bibles to Mark 12. Mark 12, 28 to 31. And when you get there, you can say amen. Are you really there, or are you just saying amen? That was kind of fast. All right. Okay. Mark 12, 28 through 31. This is what it says. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Verse 29, it says, "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Amen. Now, I really love this passage, and I feel like this passage is the embodiment of loving God with integrity. And what I mean by that is loving him with all of your being, right? Today I said I want to talk about what it means to love God fully, love him with all of our being. And I feel like, you know, this passage really identifies that. It really speaks to what that is, to love God with all of your being. And the implication of that is that it's possible to love God with your heart, but maybe not your soul, with your mind and not your strength, right? And we're seeing this not just as a possibility, but we're seeing this as a norm in contemporary Christianity. I mean, how many of us know of Christians, not in this room, right? No one here, but how many of us know Christians, right, who come to church, they experience God, they come to the altar, they have a powerful experience, and then they go home and they never open their Bible, or they never pray? Not none of us, but I'm, you know, some other Christians, right? Or maybe there are some Christians that you hear about who come to church, they serve, they do worship, you know, serve different ways to serve the house, and then on the way home, someone cuts them off, and suddenly they're sharing different kinds of words and different kinds of fingers, right? No one here, though. known here, but we've heard of that. But how many of us hear about Christians like that? And you know what? Like, when we hear those stories, we're not even surprised, right? And that's the sad reality, because it's almost become the norm. It's almost become something that we just kind of expect to happen, right? But Christian integrity, or loving God fully with all of our being, Christian integrity is not just doing what you say and saying what you do. It's about loving God with more than just your words, right? It's about loving God with every fiber of our being, okay? So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Is that all right? Amen. Cool. So integrity, I keep saying this word integrity, and I kind of want to go into that word integrity. What is integrity? Okay? And I love this definition of integrity, and this is what I'm going with. Okay, integrity is the alignment of your mind, your heart, your speech, and your actions. So in the verse it says, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all of your strength. And I believe that integrity, walking in integrity, it means the alignment of all of those things. The alignment of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Okay? The mind, it influences your heart. It influences your the mind influences the heart. The heart influences your actions. And your actions are an outward reflection of your heart and your mind, right? So all of those things, it should reflect on each other, right? It says in the Bible, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? We first need to be renewed in our mind, right? And in Luke 6, it says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil, okay? For the abundance, from out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And so from the abundance of your heart overflows what you say, right? And not just what you say, but what you do, right? And so when we're aligned in our mind and in our heart and in our actions, we're able to walk in what I say is Christian integrity, okay? And I feel like that's the key in what it means to love God fully with all of our being, okay? So now we understand what that is, but what happens when you... when what you say and what you do and what you think is kind of out of balance, or it's not in sync? What does that look like, right? And so one of the things I think about, what's something that we say here a lot? What's like a living hopeism? Shift. Yes, just shift. So I'm struggling. I feel this and this. No, son, just shift, right? Just shift. All is well. All is well, right? Man, we're all about covenant relationship. Okay, these are things that we say. These are living hope-isms, right? But I can think of so many moments in my past where I'll hear that, just shift. And I'll be like, yes, just shift. Yes, God, just shift. And I'll just keep telling myself, just shift. But then I'll go home and I'm like, I don't really want to shift. I'm kind of struggling in my heart, and I actually kind of like feeling this. So I just keep saying it, but I don't actually feel it. And in my mind, I don't really know why. Or I've kind of forgotten, right? And it's in that moment when you feel a contradiction. Really what it is it's a contradiction in your being, right? You say something and you try to act a certain way, but in your mind or maybe in your heart, you feel or you think something different, right? And that contradiction, and what it does is it makes you weary. How many of you felt that before? When you have to constantly say something or you got to do something, but you're not really feeling it or you're thinking it, you start feeling weary. It's hard, right? There's a contradiction and it makes you weary. And this weariness, it leads to bitterness, right? You get weary, you get tired, and having to do this over and over and over and over again, you start to get bitter, okay? And then what does bitterness lead to? It leads to division, it leads to separation, isolation, right? And some things that maybe seemed with good intention, somehow you ended up in this place where you're isolating yourself from the body of Christ, right? You feel separated, you feel far away, and you have no idea how you got there. But it begins with this, when you're not aligned, right? When you're not walking in integrity, right? But it doesn't just affect you. What about the people around you? How many of you know somebody, no one here, how many of you know somebody who says a lot of things or tells you a lot of things that they feel, but they act completely different? You know people like that? There's some people like that you may know, okay? There's a popular story, The Boy Who Cried Wolf, right? He talks about a wolf is coming, a wolf is coming. There's no wolf coming, right? And at the end, the wolf really comes, and he says, wolf is coming. Nobody believes him, right? He's what we call a liar. Yeah, that's what he is, right? No one wants to believe you, okay? So I love sports. So you're going to hear me talk about sports a little bit today. How many of you here love sports? Any sports fans in here? All right, cool. Good. That's good. So we have something called a bandwagon fan. You guys know what a bandwagon fan is? How many of you guys know a bandwagon fan? So what is a bandwagon fan? When things are good, man, you're all about that team. Man, when the Niners were winning that Super Bowl, man, I'm all about the Niners. And then they start being terrible, and you're like, oh, I don't have time for this. Go watch the Warriors. I don't have time. Right? You can say that you're a Warriors fan, or you can say that you're a Niners fan, but you don't really care. That's a bandwagon fan, right? There's the consensus where people don't really like the idea of a bandwagon fan, right? You don't have a good, it's not a good connotation, okay? There's a story where a couple of the guys, you know, back when the Niners were good, they're struggling a little bit now. Back when the Niners were good, we used to go over to one of our friends' houses, right? Joe, we used to go Dave's house. We used to go to his house, and we used to watch the game together. There's like 15 of us. We used to rep it every Sunday after the service. We'd record it, and we'd be like, all right, let's go watch the game, right? And every week, we used to go. Every game. We were so faithful, right? We talk about the game. We talk about how exciting it was, how the Niners were going to blow out this team, da-da-da-da-da. And then the next season, they start getting a little worse. You start seeing maybe like 7 or 8 guys show up. And then last season, they were terrible. And then it's just like me and Joe. it's sad, right? But the feeling that I get, I mean, I'm gonna root for the Niners anyway, right? I don't want to talk about it with them anymore. It just makes me sad, right? Not going to say any names, but... Yeah, anyway. Yeah, so you know, it's sad. It just makes you feel like a trust, right? How many of you are Raiders fans out here? Raiders fans? No? Oh, I thought there was going to be more. See, I know a lot of Raiders fans. I thought there was going to be more. Okay, well, I'm kind of sad, but Raiders fans, or maybe there's more here, I don't know. The Raiders fans, you know, I don't really see a lot of bandwagon Raiders fans. Man, when I see a Raiders fan, they're like, they're diehard. I live and die for the Raiders. They might be moving. I don't care. I'm going to live and die for the Raiders. But the thing about Raiders fans is y'all lose hope in like a minute. They lose one game and they're like, oh, it's over. It's over, guys. I ain't going to watch. I mean, I'm not going to call anyone out, but, you know, Carlos watched one game and he's like, oh, it's over. We ain't going to win any of this year. I'm just kidding. No, but you know, when you're around people who don't walk in integrity, when you're around people who say something and they act a completely different way, you just don't really want to be around them. It's not a really good influence. You don't really enjoy being around them. There's something negative. There's a feeling of a mistrust. Maybe you just don't have confidence in them, in what they have to say and what they're going to do, right? And so walking in integrity is so important. It's so important. It impacts more than you, right? When you're able to walk in Christian integrity, you find yourself at the center of God's will. You find yourself full of the Spirit, right? But the thing is, on our own, it's impossible to remain in that place, right? On our own, it's impossible to walk in that integrity or in love with Jesus. And, you know, it's interesting because we keep trying. We try in our own power. And really what it is striving, right? When you try to do it in your own power, it's striving. And striving actually perpetuates the struggle. Right, you feel like you're trying. How many of you guys experience that? Like you try the hardest that you can, and you just feel like, man, it's getting worse. It's really not getting better, but it feels like it's getting worse, right? And the reality is, on our own, we really can't do anything, right? I want to read from Ezekiel 37. You don't have to turn that. I'm just going to read it. Ezekiel 37. God is taking Ezekiel 37:3-10. He says, God says, God takes Ezekiel and he takes him to this valley and it's filled with these dry bones. And God says to Ezekiel, he says, this is Ezekiel speaking. He says, he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And so Ezekiel, he answers, O Lord God, you know. And God says, again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I'll put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. and then you shall know that I am the Lord. Right? So Ezekiel, he prophesied, and he says, as I commanded and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, I looked, and the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. So just imagine you're in a valley of bones, which is kind of weird, like that in itself, right? God takes Ezekiel, and he takes him to this valley of dry bones. They're dry bones. And if you've seen like petrified wood, it's like, or petrified bones, it's dry, right? And he takes him, and he says, prophesy to these bones, and they will live. Okay, so Ezekiel, he prophesies, and the bones come together. And the first thing I want to talk, and the first thing I want to point out is, you know, Ezekiel, he prophesies to the bones, and the bones come together, and the flesh comes onto the bones, and they look like people, right? But it says there was no breath in them. And what I want to say is we can come to church, and we can experience the power of God, okay? How many of you have come to church and experienced a powerful move of God, right? You come, and God moves powerfully, right? But some people can come and experience the power of God, but go home and still feel empty. Go home and still struggle and wrestle with sin, right? And why is that? Because you can experience the power of God, but that doesn't necessarily equate walking with the Lord, walking in intimacy, right? Right? Peter, he walked with Jesus. He saw all the miracles. He even walked on water, right? He saw Jesus turn water into wine. He saw all these miracles firsthand. Okay, he witnessed the miracle of the multiplication of the bread. But when Jesus is being crucified and people are looking for him, what does he do? Nah, that's that. I don't know who that is, right? And he goes back to fishing. We've seen on missions. We go to missions to Indonesia, right? So many times we see people get healed of crazy things, right? People whose legs grow out, right? They have tumors, they're blind, and then the Lord opens their eyes, and then they go home. And some of these people, they kind of fall back into the struggles that they had, and they're unable to live a powerful, spirit-filled life, right? And why does this happen? It's because the power of God is not necessarily one that causes you to live an abundant life, right? So I'm going to move on to verse 9. It says, he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Okay? It says, he prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived upon their feet and an exceedingly great army. Okay? And while the power of God is a powerful thing, it's open. God moves in power, even to those who don't know him. God will come and he'll release his power, right? But really what gives life is the breath of God. Right? If you go back to the beginning of creation, and God is causing creation, and then he forms Adam from the dust of the earth, and then what does he do? He says he breathes the breath into him, right? And this is the same breath, and his breath is representing the Spirit. And so without the Spirit, we could just be empty shells. I mean, we can experience the power of God. We can experience powerful things, but to walk in fullness, to walk in Christian integrity, what I'm trying to say is that you need the Spirit of God. Man, we need the Spirit of God. And without the Spirit of God, we could just be these living beings. We could be a shell of what we're supposed to be. But with the Spirit of God, we come alive. Okay? We come alive. What we need is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, he reveals Jesus to us. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune God. Right? The Holy Spirit is the third person. And what he does is he reveals Jesus to us. He enables us to see him, to feel him, to taste of his goodness, right? To hear his words, right? It says that no one can come to the Father. Jesus says no one can come to the Father except through me, right? But no one can come to Jesus except through the Holy Spirit, who the Father sends, right? We need the Holy Spirit. The very definition of integrity is to be filled with the Spirit. Because when the Spirit comes and fills you, right? He, your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, all those things, he aligns them perfectly. Right, what we try to do in our own power and we cannot do, we just simply invite the Holy Spirit to come, and as he comes, he aligns those things for us. Right? So the definition of walking interior is to be filled with the Spirit. And when the Spirit comes, he does something different. I know that a lot of times when we talk about living the Christian life, we talk about being filled with the Spirit, the first thing that we think about is our changed behavior, an outward expression, right? How can I do this differently? How can I go home and do this better? How can I go to work and live my life this way better? Right? But what the Holy Spirit does is when he comes and he fills you, there's a transformative work that happens. Okay? There's something that the Holy Spirit does when he comes and he changes you from the inside all the way out to our outward expression. Okay, we talk about our mind, we talk about our heart, we talk about our actions. The Holy Spirit comes and he does a transformative work, right, in all those places. It's not just an experience, but it's a revelation combined with that experience. Okay? So, how many of you guys watched, so how many of you guys are Marvel fans here? How many of you guys love watching Marvel movies? Nobody? Dang. There's some people on this side. How many of you guys have watched Civil War? Man, that was a good movie. If you have not watched that movie, you need to go watch that movie. Right? I love superheroes. I love growing up, my parents could tell you, I like love collecting comic books, reading about superheroes, watching X-Men and all these things on TV. I love it. That was my childhood, right? And in Marvel there's a specific character, Iron Man. Yes, Iron Man. He's amazing, right? And Iron Man is this man named Tony Starks, and he's this brilliant guy. He has a lot of money, and what he does is he creates this suit, this super advanced suit, right, that causes him or that gives him the ability to fly, to shoot things out of his hands, right, super strength, all these crazy things, right? But who he really is Tony Starks. That's his identity, and he puts on a suit. And when he puts on the suit, he becomes Iron Man, right? But the thing is, at the end of the day, he's not going to come home and just go to sleep in his suit. He's going to come home and he's going to take off his suit and he's going to be who he really is, which is Tony Starks, right? So there's this Marvel universe. There's this other universe. I know I'm getting super nerdy here, but just follow me. There's another universe called DC Universe, right? It's got Batman. How many love Batman? We love Superman. Okay, it's a different universe. Okay, just follow me. Just try to follow me. Okay. So Batman is very similar. He's this rich guy. Has a lot of money. And from the convictions of his heart, he puts on this suit. He dons this, right, this mask and becomes... Okay, anyway. So Batman, he does the same thing as Tony Starks, right? But then I want to talk about Superman because Superman is completely different from all these other superheroes. Okay, so while Tony Starks, he's a man who creates this suit, and he puts it on, right? Superman is a little different because Superman is actually not from this world. But every day he has to put on a suit, and he has to put on glasses, right, and become Clark Kent. But Clark Kent isn't his real identity, right? Just like Iron Man isn't the real identity of Tony. Are you guys following me? Yeah. Okay. I know I'm going deep here. I'm talking about some crazy things. But just try to follow me. Okay, Tony Starks, he puts on a suit and he becomes Iron Man. But Superman puts on a suit and he becomes Clark Kent. And he has to pretend like he's this person that he's not. Right? And you see over and over and over again, there are these moments when he has these flashes of emotion and like bits of Superman like comes out. Right? But that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit, see, what we have to understand, a lot of times we think the Holy Spirit is this suit that we put on. We're like living our life, and then Holy Spirit, we put him on. It's like, oh, it's time for ministry. Let's put on the Holy Spirit. And then we'll see the power of God. We'll see him move powerfully, right? Or we're going to missions. All right, it's time to put on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come, Lord. Bring your anointing. I want to put on your suit, right? But what you have to realize is that we're not Tony Starks. The Holy Spirit isn't a suit. The Holy Spirit comes to reveal to you that you are Superman, but you've been living your life as Clark Kent. See, you're Clark Kent. Did you guess that? See, I was going somewhere. You have to follow me. See, you are Superman. You are not of this world, okay? But the enemy has deceived you into thinking that you are Clark Kent. So every day you wake up and you put on this suit and you put on these glasses, but you don't realize what's inside of you. But the Holy Spirit comes to reveal to you who you are. The Holy Spirit is the one that resides in you, right? To reveal to you that you're Superman. You're Superman. That's who you are, right? We can't be Clark Kent and try to be like Superman. Can you imagine if Clark Kent was trying to be like Superman, but he has no idea that he's Superman? That doesn't even make sense, right? That's like Tony Stark's trying to act like Iron Man without the suit. But when the Holy Spirit comes and he fills us, right, when he aligns us, he's able to take off the glasses. He's able to take off that suit, that business suit that we wear. And inside, we realize that we're Superman. Okay? There's so much more. When we look at Peter, when we talk about Peter, before Jesus is taken up and the Holy Spirit comes, he's this guy that'll say all these crazy things like, Jesus, I will be with you. Even if you die, I'll go with you, right? Jesus, they will never take you. You are the Son of God. And then when Jesus is crucified and everyone's coming after him, he's like, nah, I don't know that guy, right? But what happens when Jesus is taken up and the Holy Spirit comes? Something happens in Peter. It's a transfer. It's not just him suddenly changing the way he acts, but there's something fundamental that happens inside of him that changes everything about Peter. The way he thinks, the way he walks, the way he does things. He stands up and he begins to preach this powerful sermon, right? That's the first thing he does when the Holy Spirit comes. He preaches this powerful word about who Jesus is. And it says thousands came to them to know Jesus, right? This man who was a coward in the past, right? Suddenly something happens and he changes where he's able to speak the word of God so powerfully that thousands are added to the number every day. Right? He was able to take off those glasses. The Holy Spirit came and he filled him with something and he was changed, right? He was able to be Superman. Now, when we talk about Christian integrity or we talk about aligning the way that we think, speak, act, you know, towards the love of God, and when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, right? I said this before. We start thinking about our behavior and we start thinking about how we could change what we do. Right? I got to do this. I got to change how I act in these situations. I got to stop saying this. Right? And essentially what we're talking about is an outward expression. We need to change our outward expression. But that's not what Christian integrity is. It's not really what it means to love the Lord fully. Right? And being filled with the Holy Spirit is not just changing your actions. But when these things align in your heart, when you have integrity and when you have integrity and those things are aligned, it produces something. And it's a very easy way to know where those things are aligned in your life, okay? It produces something called passion, right? It produces passion. So I just want you to think about one area of your life, something that you're very passionate about. Okay, just take a moment, just think about, I know everyone here is passionate about something, where if I ask you about that certain subject or ask you about that certain area of your life, man, you just start talking, right? You just start getting excited. There's something that happens when you're passionate about something, right? So I told you I love sports, and just this week, we're talking about the Warriors, and I'm sure, if you're friends with me on Facebook, I'm sure you know, but I guess I post a lot. I didn't know this, but apparently I post a lot about the Warriors, right? The Warriors fans in here, the Warriors are in the Western Finals, you know, I watch like every game. But yeah, the Warriors, I'm like, I guess I'm so passionate about the Warriors that I don't even know how passionate I am. So someone this week was like, I posted something about the Warriors and how they came back from this crazy win. And someone posted, if you post one more thing about Steph Curry and the Warriors, I'm going to defriend you. And obviously they were just joking. And I was like, what? I don't talk about the Warriors that much. I don't do that. Right, and then I was sitting with Frances when she's there. She's like, "Okay, like the last 10 posts that you put on Facebook was about the Warriors," and I was like, "No, no way. There's just no way. 10 posts. I mean, maybe like a couple. Like I totally get it because yeah, I do post about the Warriors, but there's no 10 posts. That's like impossible, right? We go back and we look, and it wasn't 10 posts. They're tripping. It was like 18 out of 20. Okay, but the thing is, I didn't even know." Right? When you're passionate about something that you don't even know. It just comes so naturally. It's something about your passion, right? There's a level of freedom that's involved with your passion. Like you're just so free to be yourself. You're just so excited about it. There's excitement, right? There's energy. And passion is contagious. Like you could talk about what you're passionate about and then the people around you, they start like getting excited about it. They're like, "I don't even care about this thing, but like I don't know why, but when you talk about it, it stirs something up in my heart." Right? When you're excited about it, like it makes me want to be excited too. Or it makes them want what you have. Right? If you're around passionate people, like that's one thing I love about Mickey. And if you know Mickey, you know he's a passionate person. And he's like passionate about the most silly things. Okay? But he's so passionate. Like, I don't know. He'll find, like, this restaurant, and he's like, dude, it's so good. It's, like, the best thing I've ever had in my life. It's so good. I've never had anything better than that. And I'm like, there's no way. It's the best thing that you've ever had in your life. He's like, it's the best thing, right? But there's something about that passion that makes me want it. And it makes you want to be around him, right? You don't want to be around, like, negative people, but you want to be around people who are passionate, right? And when those areas in your life, when it's all aligned, it produces something on passion, right? It makes you want what they have. When people are around passionate people, you want to be, you want what they have, right? It might not be about their passion, but you see that. And you're like, man, I want to be like that. So those are, like, passions about certain things. But what about passion towards people? What about passionate love? Man, I'm just talking about Mickey over and over again. So Mickey's not here, as most of you know. Mickey's on his honeymoon. He just recently got married to Krista. And so they're away. And if you guys are friends with him on Snapchat and stuff, you see that they're just having the time of their life. It's amazing, right? But I got to see something at their wedding. And I've been a part of a few weddings, but, and if you were there, you know what I'm talking about. But there was just something so beautiful. You could see, I mean, I hear this all the time, and it sounds so cliche, but I could see the love, like, in Mickey's eyes. You could just see it. It's like, I can't even describe, but he was just, when Krista was walking down the aisle, Mickey was looking at her, and you could just see it. It's just tangible, right? I just don't know how to explain, but if you've seen that, you know what I'm talking about. And, you know, he's a blubbering mess. He's trying to do his vows, and he's like, can't even talk, right? But he's just so in love, and there's just something that flows, right? It's a passionate love. It flows. It's just free. And just like we talked about, there's freedom. There's excitement. There's something, and I wanted that. Like, I saw it, and I was like, man, that inspires me, right? When I get married, that's the kind of love I want to have for my wife. Right, that's the kind of love I want to have for my wife. I want to be able to love her like that. It's beautiful. There's something so amazing about that, right? See, when I'm passionately in love, so you know, I'm not married, but I'm just basing off of what I see, right? Just from my observation, right? But when I'm passionately in love with somebody, from my observation, right, I'm all about their business, right? I want to do everything and anything for them. Right, they like consume me, right? I want to be a part of their life as much as possible, right? Their life becomes my life. I know their schedule. I know what brings them joy, right? And when you see me acting, you know, you just know that it's filled with love for that person, right? When I see Mickey and I see the way he like obsesses over Krista, I just see it. It sometimes gets a little annoying. It's like, can you stop? Just do that when you're by yourself. Like, we don't want to see that anymore. But it's like so real, right? It's so tangible, that love. His love, it's not like he's just trying to act that way. And you can easily sense when someone's just trying to act, right? And maybe some of you who are in relationships, you know when your significant other is just trying to act, right? They're just doing things for the sake of doing it. But when it's genuine, when there's integrity there, when everything aligns, you know, you can sense that there's something. And it overflows from a place. And that place is intimate knowledge of them. When you're able to be in a place where you're intimate, right? When you know them, when you really know them, then you can have this passion, right? This is passion. At the beginning of creation, after God creates Adam, he forms Eve. And, you know, at the end it says, Adam knew his wife and they had Cain. Right? It says Adam knew his wife. And that's the way that God describes it. It's an intimate knowledge. It's a knowledge that comes in. And physical intimacy is just one part of that. Right? But there is a knowing of your being, right? And it's a knowing, it's this intimate knowledge that causes us to birth these things, right? And God knows us in that way. In Jeremiah 1:5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Right? Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. God knows you in that way. There's this intimate knowledge that God has for you. Now he's just waiting for us to turn and to know him in that way. Right? God wants to know you. There's this intimacy that needs to come. Right? So it's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads you to this place of intimacy. Right? The key is knowing. The Holy Spirit brings you into a relationship. And as you come into intimacy with God, there's a revelatory knowledge. There's an intimacy that comes, right? And it aligns us. Yeah, relationships, you know, it's hard. I talk about passion about things, and these things aren't really going to love you back. And you kind of expect that, right? My love for the Warriors, they're not really going to love me back. When I go to Belly and I try to take a picture with Festus Ezeli and Harrison Barnes, they might not want to take a picture with me. Did this happen? Maybe, I don't know. But they're not really going to love me back. But the thing about relationships, right, it's a two-way street, right? And sometimes relationships, it can be about us just trying to guess what the other person wants from us, right? It can become that. But there is a oneness that comes when there's years and times of becoming one, right? When you're able to mold your hearts together, okay? So I'm going to talk about Mickey again. I didn't realize how much I put Mickey in the sermon. Maybe I just really miss him. I don't know. I almost don't want to talk about this anymore. No, but Mickey. So I've known Mickey since college, and you know he's probably one of my closest friends. He's for sure one of my closest friends, right? But there was a season when Mickey was traveling a lot. I don't know if you know, but Mickey, he's an amazing rapper. Okay, you could go on MickeyCho.com. You could find his album. You can listen to it. He's an amazing rapper. Anyway, free promo. Mickey used to travel down, and I used to go with him. I used to just go with him just to keep him company. He'd go to San Diego, Los Angeles. He'd just travel a lot. And I would just go with him. And, you know, at the beginning, it was kind of awkward because it's, you know, if you drive down to San Diego or LA, it's at least 6 hours of driving. So at the beginning, we're like, so how are you doing? And, you know, you start having these conversations, it's like uncomfortable. Do you know what I'm talking about? When you don't really know someone, sometimes you just like that silence is really weird, right? And you have to talk about things. And both of you know you don't really want to talk about it, but you just have to talk about it because it feels awkward. But after riding with Mickey on several trips, it's like we don't even talk for those 6 hours. And it's not weird. It's not awkward. It's not like we don't like each other, but we just know that we care about each other, right? We don't have to feel like, man, if I'm sitting here silently like, is he enjoying this time? It's like, man, I know Mickey. I know him because of the time that we spent together. But because of that time that we've spent, that intimacy that's happened, we know one another, right? And so there's a oneness that happens, and there's a oneness that comes. But the key is this. The key is the Holy Spirit. The key is the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, he aligns us, our mind, our heart, our actions, right? Brings us to a place where we can have relationship, we can have intimacy, and the Holy Spirit binds our hearts in oneness with the heart of Jesus, okay? So going back to the scripture, it says, first, what's the greatest commandment? It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength, okay? But then Jesus, as they said, what is the most important one? And Jesus offers them not one, but two, right? Did you notice that? They said, well, of all these commandments, which is the most important? And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself, okay? There's no commandment greater than these. So we have to understand that there's, the first one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. But Jesus also says, love your neighbor as yourself, right? We need to love our God with everything, with all of our being, with everything that we have, right? But Jesus also says you need to love your neighbor as yourself. And what does he really mean by that? And this is what I think. When Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, the way that you love people, the way that you love yourself is to give him the best thing that you have, right? When you're a kid and you have something that's like your favorite thing, it's really hard to give that to someone else, right? Because it's yours. This is your favorite thing. This is your most favorite thing. But when you're able to give that to someone else, you're able to love them the way you love yourself, right? And what is the thing, the greatest thing that we possess? What is the greatest thing that you possess, right? It's, hopefully it's the relationship that we have with God. Amen, yes, that's the thing we have. No, but the most important thing that we have, it's our relationship with God. It's our intimacy that we have, right? There's something, there's nothing in this world that is better than that, right? There's nothing better than that. So how do we give that? It's our witness. It's our testimony, right? That's the greatest thing that we have. The fullness that we've received by experiencing Jesus, by experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit, by the love of the Father, all these experiences, the sweetness of intimacy, all these things we have to give to other people, right? It's beyond ourselves. The relationship that we have with God, it goes beyond just our own personal relationship. Right? In 2 Corinthians 5, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to him through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Okay, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, and though God was making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, right? He has called us to the ministry of reconciliation, and what that is it's our witness, right? We try to make it something crazier than that. But really, it's what is your experience with God? What is your life with God like? How has it changed you? What's different? Right? A lot of us, our understanding of the gospel is my relationship with God, but we have to understand that my relationship with God, and then that's one, and then 1A is our love for people. Right? That's what God's calling us to. Our love for God and the way that he changes us, it immediately becomes how we are able to share that with the people around us. And I talk about passion, but what's like the first sign of what you're passionate about? You just want to share it with everybody, right? People don't want to hear it and you still want to share with them, right? There are some things that you like need to talk about. You're like, I don't know if they want to hear it. But when you're passionate about something, you don't even care, right? I post about the Warriors like 18 times, right? No one cares anymore, but I'm still posting about it, right? There's something that you just want to share. There's just a natural flow, right, of you wanting to share something that's so important to you, right? We must understand that we are the vehicle in which God wants to release the salvific power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? God could do it any other way. He can appear to them in the flesh, and he has. There are many testimonies where Jesus appears in the flesh, right, and people give their lives, right? But I believe the main way that God wants to release his love and cause people to know him is through his people, right? Through his sons and daughters. In Revelations 19:10, it says, "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Okay, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And what is the spirit of prophecy? Okay, the spirit of prophecy is something that speaks, it's when God speaks of something that's to come in the future or something that's coming to change an immediate event. Okay, when the spirit of prophecy comes and the word comes forth, right, it speaks to something that's going to change in the future, something that's going to happen in the future, or something that's happening now, right, and it's going to change right now. Okay, so the verse that says, "For the testimony of Jesus," okay, is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That means, so the spirit of prophecy, it's a word that comes that can change something in that's about to happen or something that's happening now. So, for an example, when PB, he said, "I feel like God is healing sickle cell anemia," okay? There's someone in here who I believe God is healing sickle cell anemia. They have sickle cell anemia and God wants to heal you today, okay? There's no way that he didn't know, right? We find out later he didn't know. But someone came forward and they prayed and they went home and they found out that they were healed, right? That's the spirit of prophecy, right? God's word comes to change something now or something in the future, right? And it says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So that means any form of testimony, any written or spoken form of what Jesus has done, okay, is the spirit of prophecy. So if you look at this word testimony in the Hebrew, it comes from a root word. It says to do again, okay? To do again. And what that means is anytime that a testimony is released of what Jesus has done, right? It comes with that covenant of God doing again what he has done. Does that make sense? So the testimony of Jesus, when you speak, anytime you speak of what Jesus has done, it's coming with that covenant of God that says to do again what Jesus has done. Are you getting that? Man, that's crazy. That means anything that you have experienced that Jesus has done in your life, think of any testimony, right? Think of what Jesus has done in your life. And when you share that with people, it's coming to do again, right? The testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. That means the testimony that you share with people, it comes to do again what Jesus has done in your life. That's powerful. That's powerful. Okay, it's an invitation for God to come and do again what he's done in our lives, okay? As we share our testimony, it creates the atmosphere for God to repeat the miracle. That's powerful. That's powerful. A couple years ago, I had an opportunity to go and meet this entrepreneur. He's starting this really big food delivery company. And some of you might know, it's a pretty well-known company. It got pretty big recently. But I got a chance to come sit back when they were still small and they were still working a lot of kinks out. And my cousin was friends with one of the guys who started the business. And so I got to go and I mean, I wasn't really there for any reason. My cousin just wanted to go and see him. And so we're grabbing food. And so we went and he made us some food and we're just eating his food, right? And we're just sitting there and he was just, you know, we're just talking about stuff. And he's like, so what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I'm a pastor at a church. And he was like, oh, really? And sometimes you get that, right? And he's like, why do you go to church? And I found out that he actually used to go to church, right? When he was in high school, and things happened and he fell away and he no longer went to church and he didn't really believe, well, in his words, he didn't really believe in that stuff anymore. So he just asked me like, so why do you go to church? Like, you know, he's just asking me. And for me, I was just simply sharing my story. I just said, you know, I used to think that I was unlovable. I used to think that there was nothing in me that was worth people's time, right? But then God came and he let me experience that the love that he has for me, that he would never let me go. And he told me that I was his son, right? And I felt him embrace me and he filled me with this unexplainable joy. And now there's so much more that I could live for. It's just like a really short story of what Jesus did in me. And honestly, I didn't really think too much of it at the time. So flash forward like 6 months and I'm hanging out with my cousin again. And he's like, hey, I'm going to go hang out with my friend, you know, who owns that company. And so I was like, all right, let's go. So we go and we're just hanging out. And then this guy's like, dude, and I could tell there's like something different about him. He's like, dude, I need to tell you something, man. After you shared with me your story, man, I just like started thinking about it. I just couldn't get out of my mind. And he's like, there's something about you. I don't know what it is, but there's this like brightness about you. And I didn't know what it was. And when you started talking about Jesus and you started talking about his love and all these things, like I didn't really understand, but it made me want it. It made me really want that. And so he said, I went home. Yeah, amen. I went home and I just sat there and I was just thinking about what you said. And I was thinking about, you know, what you were telling me. And I hadn't prayed in years. I hadn't prayed since high school. But I just, in that moment, said, God, I just want to experience what that guy had. God, would you show me your love for me in that same way, right? And he ended up going to a church, right? And he was like, I mean, in that meeting, he was like going crazy. He's like, man, I'm thinking about giving up this business, and I just want to go into ministry, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, no, man, you got to do this. This is good. Like, we need people in the church who you know, are entrepreneurs, all this stuff. No, this is like good. But he's like, there's something that changed about him. Right, and it was just simply in my sharing of my story. You know, honestly, I didn't even feel like it was powerful. You know, like you imagine when you give your testimony, it needs to be like, and then God said, da, 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 right? And then the power came, and the people are like shaking, and they like fall on the ground. Like that's what you imagine, like a powerful moment of God to be. But I didn't even feel anything. I literally just shared these words, and then we just kind of moved on. He didn't really ask me too much about it or anything. But when I met up with him 6 months later, I realized that those words, the testimony that I'd given, that God had breathed into it, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, right? To do again what God has done. There was something that God did in my life, and just from me simply sharing my testimony, just from me speaking it, right? It didn't have to feel powerful, right? A lot of us, we feel like it needs to be powerful. I don't have anything to say because I didn't go through anything crazy. Right? I got baptized when I was a child and I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But no, what did he do? What did Jesus do? He saved you. He gave you something more, right? To live. There's something that Jesus did. What did he do? Just share what Jesus did. It doesn't have to be a 30-minute sermon, right? It could be two lines. What did Jesus do? I thought I was unlovable, but he told me he loved me and it changed my life. There's something so profound that happened. There's something so profound that changed me on the inside, right? When people hear that, they're like, man, I want that. And when the testimony of Jesus comes, the spirit of prophecy is released and it gives the spirit permission to do again, not permission, but it does again what God has done in your life, right? It's so powerful. The spirit, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Man, this kid, I mean, I didn't know. When I came to meet with this guy, I wasn't like, oh man, I got to give him the words of life so that his life would be changed forever. No, it was just in my everyday. I just had an opportunity and I just simply shared who Jesus was to me, what he did in my life, right? I didn't ask him, oh, what are you going through? Let me try to relate with what you're going through so it could be more relatable. No. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy comes to do again what God has done. So, why is it important to be filled with the Spirit, right? Why is it important to walk in integrity, in Christian integrity? So the first thing is so that we can love God fully. When you love someone, you want to give them your everything. You want to give them all of you, right? It's not just about what I can receive. And sometimes we can make it about that. It's God, if I can love you fully, then I'll experience this. No, when you can love God fully, you realize that, man, you want to give him everything. When you fully realize who God is and what he's done for you and what he's giving to you, the life that he has for you, you want to give him everything, right? But not just that, it affects your testimony, okay? The way that we live our life, it speaks to this world, whether you know it or not. The way that you, your life, and I shared about your testimony about being the words that you speak, but how many of you know that communication is more than verbal? I mean, I think there's like a lot of different numbers, but a really high number, 70-80% of communication is nonverbal. The way that you live your life, the way that you live your life, it speaks to this world, and this world is watching you, right? This is really good. Non-believers, they don't read the Bible, and some of them might know the Bible, but they don't read the Bible, right? But what they read is Christians. They look at you, and their understanding of who God is, their understanding of who Jesus is from the way that you live your life, okay? And I'm going to say this, okay? The attitude that the world has towards Christians today is not a representation of how people feel about Jesus. It's not a representation about how people feel about God. But it's a representation of what our witness of Jesus has been to this world. And it's not just you. Okay, I'm talking about the church at large. The world is watching us. The world is watching and listening to what we say and what we do. Okay, because we're the ambassadors of Christ. How else would they know? Right? God wants to make himself known through us. And so that means our life is the way that they can know. Right? And so let me ask you, what kind of news, if the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news, what kind of news does your life share with the people around you? Right? Does your life show that there's something that they need, that they're missing? Right? When they see you, they're like, man, this person has something that I want. This person has something that I need. When I'm around them, I just feel something. It's different. Or do they see you and just see their life? They see you living the way that they live. Right? Do you walk in the fullness of the Spirit? Does your life exhibit the life-transforming power of Jesus, right? Are we really being the light, or are we living the same way as the world? And I'm just gonna share this last story, so maybe the worship team can come. But there's a story that, man, it just really impacted me. It was so powerful. And you know, something I love sports. There's a coach in the NBA. His name is Monty Williams. He's an assistant coach for the Thunder, and he lost his wife earlier this year in a tragic, tragic accident. His wife was driving on the freeway, and this other lady swerves into oncoming traffic, and they collide head-on, and she's instantly killed. Okay? Super tragic accident. Super tragic, right? And so, I mean, it was big news because this person is obviously a well-known person in the sports world. But they had a video of his speech at his wife's funeral. And, I mean, you can imagine if something like that happens. Like, this is the most important person in his life, right? It's the mother of his five daughters, okay? And just in a moment, she's gone. In a tragic accident. It's crazy. But this man, he goes up there, and he's talking, and he says, you know, because of my faith, because of my faith in Jesus Christ, I know that this isn't the end. Because of my faith in Jesus Christ, I know that I'm going to see her again. She's in a better place. You know, my family and I, we're going to see her, so we're okay. But you know what? Thank you for your prayers. We really appreciate all the support, all the love, all the prayers that you're sending. But I want you to know that we're not shaken. You know? He's like, I know we're going to see her again. And this is not the end. I have this hope. And it's okay. And so thank you for your prayers. But he says this. He said, there is another family that's hurting right now. You know, it's not just our family that's involved. And he said, I implore you. I ask you to pray for this other family too. Because their family is hurting too. And they need your prayers as well. And that video was going around. I'm sure some of you saw that video. But when I saw the video, I was like, man, that's super powerful. That's heck powerful, right? To be able to lose someone that's so important to you, but to be able to speak and say, man, I'm so confident because of my faith, I'm not moved. I mean, this isn't just like low-level stuff. This is like the most important person in your life, right? In a tragic accident. But that's not the end. So a week later on a Sunday evening, I'm like listening to sports radio, and this is like national radio, and there's this host, and he's talking about this speech. And, you know, he's very, very open about his stance. He's like, you know, I'm an atheist. I don't really believe. But I want to talk about this story, and I know religion is a very touchy subject for a lot of people, but I want to talk about this because, I mean, this is sports. This is like a big news in sports, and so I want to talk about it. And he was saying, you know, I watched that story, I watched that speech, and he said something struck him. He was like, you know, my biggest reason for my lack of faith is exactly what happened to Monty Williams. He's like, why do bad things happen to good people? Right? It just doesn't make sense. God, if you're fully good, how can you allow bad things to happen to good people? It just doesn't make sense. I can't believe that. And he was like, if I was Monty Williams, I would not be able to get up. It would devastate me. It would destroy me. I don't know if I could wake up and be a good father to my five daughters. I don't know if I could get up and go to work. I don't know if I could get up and be happy again, right? But he was saying my biggest reason, I don't believe, but my biggest reason for belief, my biggest reason for faith is the way that Monty Williams was able to exhibit such grace, to exhibit such humility, to walk in so much confidence. He's like, how do you go through something like that? Something that should destroy you, something that's just so devastating. How do you go through something like that and be able to say, I'm fully confident that I'll see her again. I am not moved. I'm not shaken. But not only that, but to say, you know what? That other family's hurting too. Pray for them. I implore you, pray for them. He's like, I don't understand. And you know what? I don't understand, but I'm like, man, Monty Williams has something that I don't have. Because if I was in his position, I would not be able to even operate. Right? I would be a mess. But not only is he able to speak and say, I'm not moved, but to implore people to pray, to exhibit such grace. He's like, that's my reason for faith. And he's like, I don't understand. And he's being very honest. I don't understand. I don't get it. But you know what? There's something in me that makes me want to have what Monty Williams has. Okay, this is national radio. I don't know if any of you guys listen to radio in here, but this is national radio, okay? And this is an atheist, someone who doesn't know who God is, and he's talking about this man who knows Jesus and how his faith has challenged him to think differently, to want something that he has. And he's taking calls from all these people from all over the country, right? And they're having these conversations. But he's like, there's one thing that I can't deny, that there's something so different and so real with this man. And I want it, right? There's the power of his testimony. Monty Williams, because of his position, he had a platform. And he didn't go up there and say, I want everyone to repent and turn and believe in Jesus and you will be saved. That's not what he said, no. He just simply shared what was happening in his life and what the power of the gospel, what the power of Jesus, right? The power of the Holy Spirit, what it was doing in his life and how he was changed and how he was different. And this unbeliever on this national radio was speaking about it, was talking about it. It's crazy. You never know. You never know. And I mean, this is Monty Williams. He's an assistant coach in the NBA, right? Obviously, he has a bigger platform than some might have. But you just never know. Monty Williams didn't know when he stood up there and he was talking about his faith. He didn't know that people were going to be talking about on national radio. He didn't know people were going to be sharing that speech like all throughout social media. He didn't know that. But he was just being who he was, right? And the Holy Spirit was able to move through that. And he was able to touch the lives of so many people. I don't know if this radio host became a believer or what happened. I don't know. But there was something that was planted in him where he was like, I want that. Monty Williams, there's something that you have that I want. I want that, right? If you knew that your life, if you knew that your life was the one point of exposure to the person of Jesus Christ for the people around you, your life is that one point for the people around you. How differently would you live your life? If there are people who are going to meet you and that's their one chance at getting an understanding of knowing who Jesus is, how differently would you live your life, right? Jesus died for you. He died for me to save us from the death by taking our sins. But his purpose wasn't for that power to end simply with us, right? Your story, it's supposed to be the beginning to the hundreds and thousands of other stories that God wants to write in the lives of people around you, right? Loving God fully, loving God with all of our being, it goes beyond just us and our experience with God and our relationship with God, right? To be filled with the Holy Spirit, to walk in fullness, the fullness of what God has for us. It goes beyond just our own personal experience, right? It's supposed to translate into that being spread to be given to the people around us, right? The hope, the freedom, the joy that you have, right? The world is waiting. The world is watching. So I'm asking you again, one more time, if you knew that your life was that one point of experiencing the person of Jesus for the people around you, how differently would you live your life? Let's bow our heads. Remember, it's not about change behavior. It's not about what you do. It's not about us wanting to go home and do something better. It's really inviting the Holy Spirit to come. Lord, would you come and align my being, my all that I am, align it, Lord, so that I can experience the fullness of what you have for me. To live the life that you have for me. And you know what? Maybe you're in a place where you are struggling. Maybe you're in a place where it's hard. I think what God wants to do is to release that burden of feeling like you need to be the super holy person. What God wants is a genuine relationship. And genuine, what it means is to be honest with how you are, with where you are, with how you feel, to speak openly, intimately, you know, vulnerably about where you are. Lord, I can't do this right now. Lord, it's hard for me. I can't understand why this is happening. But Lord, I want to understand. Lord, I don't feel your love. And maybe the truth that I'm reading in the scriptures is not making sense to me. It's not, but I want to receive that. And so at this moment, I just want to give you an opportunity to be vulnerable before God. I want to release you from that expectation that you need to be a certain way, that your prayers need to sound a certain way, that you need to use certain words, that you need to come to God a certain way. God wants you to come as you are. God wants to know you as you are. God wants to hear your heart the way it is. God wants to hear your voice. And what you'll find is the Holy Spirit will come and he'll do the work. In our own power, we can't do anything. But when the Spirit of God comes, he's able to change everything. When the Spirit of God comes, he's able to change everything. Yeah, God, we just thank you for who you are. I thank you that for eternity, God, we will see you and we will know you, and there'll be a new thing that we will learn. God, there's never enough things. God, there will forever for eternity be a new revelation, a new thing that we see, God, something new that'll blow us away about you. Lord God, for eternity, God, we will see you and we'll be able to worship. God, our hearts will be able to be filled with the knowledge of you. Lord God, we thank you. That's who you are. That's who you are. And God, our desire is to know you in that way. Our desire is to see you. Holy Spirit, would you come? Maybe some of us, Lord, we're unable to be in that place where we feel like you're distant, you're far away. God, maybe we feel like, God, it's a difficult place to be. But Lord, Holy Spirit, we just ask for you to come and to fill us. Would you do the work? We just simply open our hearts and say, Lord, come and have your way. Lord, come and have your way. Lord, would you come and align our being? Align our being so that we can walk in fullness, God. God, we want to love you. God, we want to love you with all of our being. We want to love you in that way. So, Lord God, I just speak your peace over your people. I speak your blessing over your people, God. I just remove any shame, any guilt, God, any lie of the enemy that holds them from approaching your throne. God, I remove every obstacle that prevents them from coming before you, God, to opening their heart to you, Lord. God, I just ask for your Spirit to come and fill every heart. God, fill every person, Lord. God, that we may know the goodness of God. Yeah, God, I thank you, Lord, that you are near. God, you are near. You are near to us. I thank you that you're doing it. And even though they may not feel it, it's not about our feelings. It's not about an experience, but God, you're doing it. You're doing it, God. And God, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing. Lord, you're calling us, God, to live a life of fullness, God, to be able to love you fully, God, to love you with our whole being, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.